We're on the top of Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're studying the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that a Suma is Potter Mikol Hadinim Shabbator, meaning anything that's relevant to Dinim Ominis, whether it be if somebody wants to sue a Suma blind person for damages or for other monies, if the Suma, the blind person, wants to sue someone else, some other defendant, the Suma, is excluded in all directions. And the Ravid in Shita Mugbetzes asks the following question: does it mean, therefore, that a Suma is allowed to steal, and the Nignav, the victim of his theft, would not be able to sue the Suma in a court of law? Is it a total Hefkevelt? And in a sense, this question of the Ravid touches on another question, and that is, if Rabbi Yehuda exempts a Suma from all Dini Mominis, why does Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Pei Vavam and Beis derive the Ptur of Suma from Boshes, that if a Suma humiliates someone, he doesn't have to pay Boshes for that, and he derives that from Gzeira Shava of Einecha, why was that Gzeira Shava necessary? After all, Rabbi Yehuda establishes that a Suma is Potter Mikol Dinei HaTorah. And perhaps both of these questions can be answered with the same Yisod, that when we talk about exempting the Suma, according to Rabbi Yehuda, from Dinei Mominus, what we mean is that if there's a Tviya against him, for example, and he's the defendant in that case, we cannot impose upon him chiyuve mamon. For example, knas, let's say kefel of a gan of dal vehei. But if someone claims against the suma mamoni gabach, meaning you, Mr. Suma, you're holding on to my money, then surely, clearly, the suma has to pay back. He's got to return what he stole. So let's say, for example, the Suma borrowed $1,000. Does that mean that the plaintiff, the Malva, has no recourse to get his money back? Or, in the Ravid's question, if the Suma stole something, does that mean that the Nignav has no recourse to collect his stolen object, and force the Suma to return it? And the same thing could apply to Boshes. Boshes, insofar as it's one of the Chiyuve Chavola, and you may recall that we said at the outset, in the name of Reb Chaim, that a chiyuv chavola, tashlumi chavola, is unique. It is not classical. It's a compensation that's meant to replace the loss. That too is a kind of mamoni gabor halacha, and therefore we'd have a havamin, if not for the gzeirah shava of einecha, that a sumo would be chayev to pay boshes if he humiliated someone. And perhaps the kamashmal and the maskana of the gzeirah shava is that no, that even though boshes is unique in so far as it's a chiyuv chavola, but nevertheless, the avera, the violation of the avera itself of mazik, whatever that avera might be, that's what engenders the chiyuv of whether it's Nezek Tzari, Pui Sheves, or Boshes. And insofar as a Suma is not liable for violation of Averis, he, as we'll soon see, he would not pay Boshes. Now there's a famous Chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch, and whenever the Minchas Chinuch says a Chiddush, you know it's going to be fundamental. And he says the following: that there are two categories of chiyuvim that we could discuss in the Torah perspective. Number one is Yisrael, and number two is a Ben Noach. A Ben Noach, although he doesn't have Taryag mitzvahs, he does have seven basic mitzvahs, seven chiyuvim, one of which is going to be gneva, stealing. In fact, a Ben Noach has even a more strict demand in terms of not stealing, even a pochus mishava pruta. Says the Minchas Chinuch, when Rabbi Yehuda is mafkia chiyuvim vis-a-vis the summa. What he means is to classify summa under the basic fundamental chiyuvim that apply to all human beings, namely b'nei Noach, and therefore any mitzvahs that come under b'nei Noach would be applicable to a summa as well. Because after all, says the Minchas Chinuch, what is the source, what is the verse upon which Rabbi Yehuda bases his conclusion that a summa is part of a mitzvah? Well, that pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda quotes is going to be in the context of those unique mitzvahs that were added to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And therefore, there was no hafkah, no p'tur of a summa vis-a-vis the mitzvahs of a B'nei Noach. And this would lead us to the following question. Would there be a chiyuv on a ben Noach to pay boshes? And the Ramban is of the opinion that on the gzela, on the gneva, as far as the Sheva Mitzvah ben Noach is, are all dini momenos. And that might include the case of boshes as well. I don't know. That's a tzorech in. But that would explain and justify why Rabbi Yehuda needs the gzera shava einecha einecha. We're going to soon see that Tosus here, Dibra Maskel Vechain, the second one, there are two Vechains here on Pei Zion, is of the opinion that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Suma is Potmina Mitzvahs, that's only on a Doraisa level. However, Midrabanan, the Suma is Chayev Mitzvahs. The Rabbanan didn't want to leave the Suma of Hefker, that he has no Mitzvahs. And therefore, it could be that midrabanan, the mitzvahs of, or the dinim of mammon, apply, at least midrabanan, to a summa. I don't know if that would answer our question about why Rabbi Yehuda needs einecha einecha as a gzera shava. That I'm not sure. But it is something that we want to keep in mind as we proceed in this sugya. The Gemara asks, my time of Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda, or where does Rabbi Yehuda derive his conclusion that a summa is potter mikol dinei Torah? The Amar Kra, and Rabbi Yehuda invokes the pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Hei, the parsha of Rotzeach b'Shogeg, and there the Torah says, "V'shaftu ha'eda bein hamake uvein gol adam." The make is a reference to a horeg b'mezid, a rotzeach, and the gol adam is a reference, of course, to rotzeach b'shogeg, and the pasuk ends with the words al hamishpatim ha'ele. Says Rabbi Yehuda, kol sheyeshno b'maka, in the din of maka, meaning rotzeach, and who's chayv misa for his murder, u b'gol adam, and he's included in the chiv golus that applies to someone who kills b'shogeg, is included yeshno b'mishpatim, he's included in all the mishpatim, but kol she'eino shayach b'din maka u'b'din gol abdam eino b'mishpatim. We've already established on Pei Vav Amid Beis that Rabbi Yehuda derives from various gzeir shavis that a suma is excluded from a chiyuv misa in the case of rotzeach, and from a chiyuv golus in the case of a shogeg. And therefore, by virtue of this pasuk, in the parasha of gol adam rotzeach shogeg, is eino b'mishpatim. He, the summa, is excluded from all dini momenus. The Gemara now quotes an additional brisa to amplify the shita of Rabbi Yehuda vis-a-vis the summa, tanya idach, in another brisa. Rabbi Yehuda omer, summa ein lo boshes. If a summa humiliates someone, he's not liable for payment of boshes. V'chein hoyer Rabbi Yehuda potro michol mitzvos hamuros patorah. That Rabbi Yehuda went a step further, and he established that a summa is exempt from all the mitzvos of the Torah. Tosus asks a question from a Gemara in Masechta Megillah. The Gemara there says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Suma shalora ma'oros miyamov, if he was born blind, Rachmana Litzan, he never had the power of sight, lo yotzi acherim yidei chovasam v'birchas kriyat shma, he cannot recite kriyat shma on behalf of others. the clear-cut implication is that if he had sight and then became blind at some point, he could be motzi others. So Tosfos asks what Rav Yehuda himself says, that tzum is part to be called mitzvah Torah. And the simple reading of Rav Yehuda is that any tzumah, even if he was raw and achakach nistama, he had the power of sight and then he lost it, he too is part to be called mitzvah Torah. How then could it be motzi others yidei chovasam? The Yerushalmi, in fact, states that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a suma, when we say that a suma is potum in a mitzvah, it's pshita, it's simple, says the Yerushalmi, that he can't be motzi others. The Gemara in Megillah that says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, suma shalora ma'oros miyomav lo yotzi acher midei chovasam, that chiddush is about a person who has the power of sight. However, he was never exposed to light. From his birth, he was in a jail, for example, a base ofel, or he lived in a cave. Such a person cannot be motzi acher midei chovasam. But the Bavli seems to assume that Rabbi Yehuda's intention and the intention of the Gemara Megillah is to assume a mamish. Because the Gemara explains that the reason why the Chachamim allow a suma to be motzi others in Berchas Kriyachma and Kriyachma is because Yesh lo hano mema oros bekach shacherim ro misayim lo, others see and he benefits from that. But obviously we're talking about a suma mamish, a blind person. If he had the capacity to see as the Yerushalmi would have it, then we wouldn't have to introduce the fact that he's nena from others who see. In any event, based on this question and the stira between our Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbi Yehuda quoted in Megillah, Tosfos gives the following answer. When Rabbi Yehuda says that asum is potum called mitzvah Torah, that means on a Doraisa level he's potum. Rabbi Rabbanan is chayev. Otherwise, if the Rabbanan would not have imposed the chiv mitzvahs on asuma, he would be like a nachri. He would not be noy klal b'toras Yisrael. Now, in the case of asuma, Shalora mi oros miyavav, he cannot be motzi acher yidei chovasam, because he himself personally does not have a direct benefit from a oros. But in the case of someone who had the power of sight and then he lost it, he could be motzi acher yidei chovasam because he has the chiyuv midrabbanan. In other words, when Rabbi Yehuda insists that midrabbanan they were mechayev a suma in mitzvahs, take the case of a sumasha rav in istatma, and now he can no longer see. He has a full-fledged chiv derabbanan to do the mitzvahs. It could be that a suma who was blind from birth would have an option of doing mitzvahs, but not a chiv derabbanan. That's something that has to be investigated. But in any event, according to Tosfos, the case of a suma whose chayv midrabbanan, according to Rabbi Yehuda, can be motzi others Yidei Chovasam in Birchas Kriyachma, because Birchas Kriyachma is Iker Chiyuva Midrabbanon, and that's a sugi in Brachos on Daf Chaf Aleph. So Ad Kan Tosfos. The Rashba, however, says that a Suma is not Chayiv in Mitzvahs even Midrabbanon, and he proves it from a Gemara later on that Rav Yosef defined a Suma, according to Rabbi Yehuda, as an Eino Mitzuva Viosa. According to Tosfos, it's hard to classify him as an Eino Mitzuva Viosa, since the Torah gives authority to the Rabbanon to create Chiyuvim to Rabbanon Lol Sasur, and therefore Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Chachamim. How could you call a Suma someone who's Eino Mitzuva Viosa? He is Mitzuva, albeit not B'toras the Mitzvah, B'toras Lol Sasur. Therefore, the Rashba comes to the conclusion that if a Suma volunteers to be Mekayim the mitzvahs, that's Midas Chasidus, but he's not Chayev Midrabbanan. But the radical Chiddush of the Rashba is that once the Suma accepts upon himself to implement the mitzvah, again, Midas Chasidus, he can be Motzi others Yidei Chovasam in Birchas Kriyachma, which is a Chiyuv Midrabbanan. So the Rashba postulates the following analogy, the following equation. One who's Mekayim Mitzvahs Mimidas Chasidus, and one who's Mekayim Mitzvahs that he's Chayiv in Midrabbanan, those two are on the same level. And insofar as I want to be Yotze Kriyat Shema, Birchas Kriyat Shema is the Rabbanan, the Suma, who has no Chiyuv, not even the Rabbanan, but he takes it upon himself, but Midas Chasidus, he has my Chiyuv, meaning an identical level of Chiyuv, and he could be Motzi me. However, in the case of Mishal Ora Ma'oros Miyamav, there he cannot recite the bracha on behalf of others. He doesn't have the benefit of enjoying the Ma'oros, and he never had that benefit. Now, according to Tosis, that is Sumas Chayiv Min Rabbanan in all mitzvahs, we could always ask, well, what's the source and what's the basis to be Mechayiv the Suma Min Rabbanan? After all, you're going to quote the pasuk Lo Sasur. Well, Lo Sasur is one of the lavim in the Torah. And if a Suma is potter be called mitzvahs, let's assume for the time being that he's potter even from mitzvahs Lo Sasur. That itself is going to be a major controversy. But according to that school of thought, and that's the Sefer HaMachria, if you want to know who it is, one of the Rishonim, he's of the opinion that a Suma is potter even for mitzvahs Lo Sasur. And if that be the case, there's no basis for a Chiyuv Derabbanan, because the authority that makes it compelling for a person to oblige and fulfill a mitzvah Derabbanan is vested in Lo Sasur, but the Suma is not included in Lo Sasur. So that's a problem to understand Tosfos if you assume that there is no chiyuv, even Losa says, on a Suma. Again, other Rishonim, the Rashba, is of the opinion, for example, that a Suma is chayiv in mitzvah Losa says, and that he proves from the fact that perhaps a Suma be chayiv in mitzvah Rabbanon. And the answer, I think, to Tosfos' question here, to the question of the poskim, how there could be possibly a chiyuv derabbanan on a suma if he's not included in the lav lo sasur, I would base myself on Rav Shimon Shkop. Rav Shimon is medayik in many places in Shas. It says ibay se makra, ibay se masvara, and it seems that a svara has the same status and the same teeth, binding status as a pasuk, as a kra. And in the case of Lo Sasur, although technically the Suma is exempt from Lo Sasur, but he's included under Svara. And the Svara is to listen to and fulfill the mandates of the Chacham. And they are the Chacham, they are the wise people, and relying on their wisdom is a good, healthy thing that's logical and rational for a Jew to do, and it's at least a Svara. Getting back to the Gemara, Amrav Shisha, Bereder of Idi, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's conclusion that assumes potami called mitzvah Shabbat Torah? The Amar Kra, there's a pasuk in Dvarim Perik Vav, we read it last Shabbos, regard to teaching mitzvahs to Am Yisrael. It says, V'ele ha-mitzvos Hachukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeichem l'lamed eschem. And in this pasuk there's a hekesh between the entire Torah and the mishpatim, the chukim, the mitzvos on the one end and the mishpatim on the other. And therefore we say kol sheyeshno b'mishpatim yeshno b'mitzvos v'chukim, kol sheino b'mishpatim eino b'mitzvos v'chukim. Since Rabbi Yehuda has already established, based on the pasuk at the end of Bamidbar, v'shoftu eidah, etc., etc., kol ha-mishpatim ha'ilu, that a suma, since he's excluded from ritzicha, he's excluded from mishpatim, now we take this step further with the pasuk in Vaschanan, and we derive the conclusion that if he's excluded from mishpatim, he's likewise excluded from the chiyuv mitzvahs. And again, as I said before, here we have machlokas about Losa says, whether he's included in Losa says or he's not included. Amar Rav Yosef, this is a very, very famous Gemara, appears here and in Kedushin. Rav Yosef was blind. Meiresh Havamina, initially, before I heard a Chiddush of Rabbi Chanina, which is a little bit counterintuitive, we'll try to understand the Chiddush of Rabbi Chanina, but the intuition tells me that Havamina used to say, the man di omar alochik Rabbi Yehuda, the omar suma potamitzis kavdin and yomar tavla rabbonon. I would make a seuda for the Talmidei Chachamim. I'm thrilled, I'm elated that I, as a Summa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, am potim in a mitzvah, my timer. And why am I so excited about this? What is the reason for joy? Delo mifkadina, I am not obligated, it's not compulsory, I'm potim in a mitzvah. But yet, nevertheless, voluntarily I fulfill the mitzvahs. And how much milo, what a great milo it is for a person who's not obligated to nevertheless volunteer for a mitzvah. And Eina Mitzuva V'yosa gets even greater schar, and he's worthy of more reward when he voluntarily accepts upon himself to implement the mitzvah. That is an indication or a reflection of his true, genuine avas Hashem, a deep love for Hashem and His commands, His mitzvos. But Misha Eino Mitzuva, alright, Misha Mitzuva, excuse me, someone who's obligated, okay, he has the vid of Yira, he's afraid to violate the will of God, of the commander-in-chief, but nevertheless, he's missing that extra level of Ava, and therefore he should get less schar than I would get if I volunteer for the mitzvahs of Hashem, even though I'm assuming I'm potter. And the answer is, I am reflecting the midah of avas Hashem. So that was all meresh. That was all nahava midah. But vahashta deshamet leha de Reb Chanina. But recently I heard a chiddush, a counterintuitive chiddush of Rabbi Chanina, the Omer Rabbi Chanina, the famous statement, Godol ha-mitzuva v'yosa v'misha eina mitzuva v'yosa, a person who is obligated to mitzvah gets more schar, his mitzvah is more chashuv than someone who volunteers for a mitzvah. Now Rav Yosef changes his tune. I'm hoping that we paskin like the Chachomim against Rav Yehuda. And he says, man di omerli, if somebody would tell me and teach me, she'ein halachik Rav Yehuda, but rather that a suma is obligated mitzvah, savdina yom tavla rabbonim my time of the chi mifakdina is isli agratvei. If indeed I'm obligated, I will get even a greater schar. In any event, it would seem from this gemara that whenever a person has a reshus to do a mitzvah, even though he's not obligated in the mitzvah, he gets schar. Again, whether or not, like the Havmina of Yosef before Rabbi Chanina, he gets greater schar, supersedes that of a mitzvah, so he gets less schar, but he definitely gets schar. And this is a famous question of the Ramban in Kiddushin, because the Yushalmi in the second parak of Brachos establishes that kol apotah midover oseu nikra hejot. When a person is exempt from a mitzvah, let's say he doesn't have to sit in the sukkah, it's raining, it's not a case of Teshuva came to Duru, but he voluntarily sits in the mitzvah, he's called a hejot. And it would seem that that's inappropriate. A hejot is a kind of pejorative term. And the Ramban explains, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that Yushalmi means that if somebody is not mitzuva at all, you know, he takes upon himself a chumrah because he wants to do so, that's called a hejot. But somebody who wants to fulfill the mitzvah of the Torah that he's not chayav in, for example, let's say the case of an isha, the Torah exempted a woman, same thing applies to an eved, and possibly even to a non-Jew, then you get schar for that. If you come up with a situation, a scenario which no one ever would be obligated in that scenario, you're really creating a whole new mitzvah. That's a hejot. That's not recommended. We don't advocate sitting in the sukkah when no one in that situation would be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. That's a hejot. That's an imbecile, if you pardon me, from a halachic perspective. However, when someone is a gavra potur, there's a potur gavra, but everyone else is chayiv, and that gavra who's potur wants to put himself and accept upon himself a chiyuv to implement that mitzvah, then that's a great eina mitzuva v'yose, and certainly it's not a hejot. On the contrary, by being machmir on himself to be mekayim that mitzvah gets schar. The classical case of this would be a woman who studies Torah. The Rambam goes out of his way in Hilchos Talmud Torah to point out that although she's not obligated to study Torah, she gets schar. And certainly under those circumstances, when there's a ptur gavra, rashoi, a person is allowed, lahachmir, v'lasosa mitzvah k'mi she'eno mitzvah k'mi she'eno mechuyav, and he'll get great schar for that. The strange thing is about this sugya of Rav Yosef, that he seems to be dancing around schar. He's so excited that in his hav meetings an eino mitzvah he gets great schar. In the maskona, if he's a mitzvah, we also get great schar based on Rav Chanina. And if we pass like the Chacham Rav Yehuda that assumes schar and mitzvahs. Very strange. I mean, after all, the Mishnah in Avos tells us that the highest level of being mekayim a mitzvah is someone who does so not because he's motivated for schar, he wants to get reward, but rather he's a meshamesh, he's an eved, a meshamesh the Rav, shalom and asla kabel pras. That's way back at the beginning of Avos. Again, we're five chapters beyond that, but whoever remembers. And perhaps Rav Yosef was of the opinion that he is not a total Oved Hashem. He was a little bit, I wouldn't say down on himself, but he was a little bit of a humble person, and therefore he felt that at that level he could be motivated by Al Menas L'Kabel Pras. He wasn't on the level of Shelo Al Menas L'Kabel Pras, and therefore he'd be Simcha Adik, he would be very elated if he would get greater Schar. Tosus and the Ritva Masech the Kedushin try to explain the underlying logic of Rabbi Chanina. Why should it be that an Eda Mitzvah of the Osa is on a lower level? We would think that if he volunteers, and as we said before, he expresses and reveals his level of Ava, he should get even more Schar. And they answer that in the case of a Mitzvah of the Osa, that's where the Yetzer Hara sharpens his knives. That's where he tries to be misgari, tries to tempt a person and be machshel him not to fulfill his obligation. The Yetzer Hara is not going to waste his limited energy on those who are at Eino Mitzvah. There's a lot more stake if he can trip up someone who's Mitzvah Viosa. And therefore, in the case of an Eino Mitzvah, since even if the Yetzer Hara would succeed, it would not cause any sort of an Avera because the Eino Mitzvah is Eino Mitzvah. But in the case of Mitzvah, that's where the Yetzer Hara is going to attack him. And that justifies why the Mitzvah Viosa is going to get more schar. He's constantly battling against the Yetzer Hara. And Tosis also adds here another flavor here to this discussion, and that is that a Mitzvah Viosa, again, I don't want to say he's compulsive, we're not talking about that category, but we're talking about a person who's constantly looking to try to see if he can fulfill the mitzvos. You know, he has that element of yira, like the briskers are famous for being makpid with every single little thing, you know, their fierce amatzis and so forth. That person puts all the more energy and anxious tension to fulfill the mitzvah the way it should be done because he's a mitzvah viosa. That enhances his schar. The Ritva adds another little flavor here, and he says that the purpose of the mitzvahs is not because Hashem gets hanoah from our mitzvahs, but Hashem wants to be mezaka us and give us merits. And a mitzvah viosa gets a great schar because he's being mekayim the gzeira of Hashem, much more so than in the case of someone who's an eina mitzvah viosa. He's not really being mekayim the gzeira of Hashem. After all, he didn't get the tzivu, he didn't get the command. He gets schar because he shows and demonstrates that he's a tov lev, that he's a chassid, he puts himself into the category to be mekayim the mitzvahs. But that element of kiyum gzeiras Hashem, which is the ratzon of Hashem to be mezaka us in schar, so that we could, through which, or by virtue of fulfilling His will and His gzeira and His mandate, we receive and we deserve this schar. That's the whole point of schar mitzvah, which applies in the case of a mitzvah viosa. Now, we are up to the Mishnah here on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. And in order to appreciate this Mishnah, we have to remind ourselves of the Mishnah back on Pei Gimel, which lists the five categories of a chovel, of a chiyuv chovel, that's nezek, tzar, ripui, sheves, and boshes. That's the case of a human being that assaults another human being. and there's a case of a human being that we discussed that causes the pregnant woman to lose her vlados, he has to pay to make vlados. This mission that we're about to learn is going to create a contrast. What about the case, not where a human being was responsible as a mazik, but the animal was responsible as a mazik? And the owner of the animal, insofar as he was neglectful in watching his animal, he has to pay nezikin. How far do these nezikin go? Do they go as far as Adam HaMazik? And that's where the mission establishes Zech Omer Bi Adam Ibishar. The Chumrah of Adam HaMazik, in contrast to Shor HaMazik, is number one, Shal Adam, if man assaults another human being, that's called Chavola Meshalim Nezik Tzar Ripui Shevesu Boshes, the five categories. And number two, Ve, or U, Meshalim Tmei Volados. In addition, if he was Mazik, a pregnant woman, and she lost the Volados, Meshalim Tmei Volados. This, herein lies the difference, the contrast between Adam and Shor. Vishar, if a Shor is Mazik, let's say, for example, it attacks a human being or attacks a pregnant woman, she loses avlados. Eino Meshalim El Nezek, of the five categories of Chiyuvei Chavala, only one is common to a Shor Shehizik, and that's Nezek. And Potter, as far as Dmei Vlados, he's in Gansin Potter, Midmei Vlados. And here, we want to mention the Machlokas Tanoim back on Daf Mem Beis, and specifically to earmark the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who derives from the parasha of Ubal Ashar Naki in the case of Sharshan Nagach, that Naki means that he's potter from Dmei Vlados. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, derives the Ptur of Shar, Shen Nagach, and Dmei Vlados from the Poski Notzu Anoshim. In the parasha of Dmei Vlados, the Torah specifically mentions Anoshim, and we derive Dafka Anoshim, but not Shvarim. The Maskon of the Gemara back on Pei Vav is that, and this I say as an introduction to the next part of the Mishnah, that as the Mishnah says, Hamakes Oviv Es Imo Velo Asa Ben Chabura, how is it possible to understand the scenario of this Mishnah that a person attacks his father or Hashem, his mother, and he didn't make a Chabura? And the answer is that he took a sam, dipped his hands in the sam, and then put it on his father's head, his mother's head. He made them blind in such a way that the sayer will not come back at all. It was a permanent damage. And in such a case, there's no chabura, there's no hotzaz dam, but yet there is a chiyuv, and therefore there is no chiyuv misa. Because again, Chabura Bi'aviv, Chov Bi'aviv is Chayv Misa, but here, he didn't make a Chabura Bi'aviv, but nevertheless it's Chavola Bi'aviv, and therefore he pays, as the Mishnah is about to say, all five categories of Tashlumin. Then the Mishnah has a second case where he pays five categories of Tashlumin, Chovel B'Chaver B'Yom HaKippurim. If, let's say, he wounds his friend on Yom Kippur, and he violated an Iser Malacha D'Oraisa, and he was Machal Kedushas Yom HaKippurim, he's Chayiv Malchus for such a thing. Nevertheless, he pays the five categories of Chavola. Now, as far as the source for the fact that Maka of Vimo is only Chayiv Misa if he makes a Chabur and he wounds his parent, that's a Sugya in Sanhedrin Pehei Omid Beis. And the Gemara establishes there that you must have a Chabur and Hotzas Dam, and then you Chayiv Misa and you Potter from Chayiv Mamon, as we'll see in the next part of our Mishnah. In terms of Chovel Bechavero, the Torah tells us in Vayikra Chavdal, V'ishki Yitein Mum Ba'miso Kasher Osa Kein Yosa Lo Kasher Yitein Mum Bi'odom Kein Yinosen. And the Gemara explains in Perikei Lunairis and Ksubis that there's a double language, a certain repetition here, to teach me that even a Chovel Chavero, in addition to his monetary obligations to make do and compensate the Nechbal, but he also violates a lav, and therefore he should have been Chayiv Malchus. And if he's chayav malchus, he would be potter from tashlumin. That's called kimleib the rabminei. But nevertheless, the Torah says nesina. The Torah says kasher yitein kein yinosein, and nesina always means mamon. And here in the case of Chol B'Chavero, despite the violation of the law, and despite the fact that he's Chayiv Malkus, nevertheless, he will pay Tashlumin. And now we get to the case of Yom HaKippurim. Because in Yom HaKippurim, again, he violated the Iser Chabura, the Iser of Hotzah's Dam, he's Chayiv Malkus, and yet the Mishnah establishes, nevertheless, he pays the five categories of Chovel, and the reason for that is, as we just established, that the Chachamim learned from the Pasuk that in the case of Chabola you pay damages even though you violated a lav, and even though the general rule is if you have a double punishment, one is corporeal, that's Malkus, and the other is Mamon, you get Malkus and you are relieved from Mamon. The Chachamim derived from this drasha that we mentioned earlier in the Gemara Ksubis that he pays and he doesn't get Malkus. This is the exception to the rule, and that's Chovel B'Chavero. The Mishnah now addresses various strange cases of Chavola. Case number one is HaChovel B'Eved Ivri. Now, we've discussed this in the context of the Sugya earlier on Pei Vav with regard to Abai V'Rava. Let's take Abai's approach for a minute. Is Chayav Bekulon. The Eved Ivri has a regular status as a classical Jew. He just has a contractual relationship with his Adon. But the question is, when the Eved Ivri was the victim of an assault, are the Chiyuvim identical to that of a classical case of a Chovel, the Ben Chorin? So the Mishnah establishes Chai Bekulon Chutz Min HaSheves. Now, what does it mean that there's no Chiyuv Sheves? So in order to understand that, because again, if Reuven attacks Shimon's Eved, then Reuven should pay Sheves to Shimon, because Shimon now lost the Malacha of his Eved. So why is there Chutz Min HaSheves in that Mishnah? So for that, we have to learn the next three words in the Mishnah, Bizman, Shehu, Shelo. It means that the Chovel assaulted his own Eved Ivri, and therefore he doesn't have to pay for lost Malacha, because the Malacha belongs to him. He's just shooting himself in the foot. He's losing that which is his. If, on the other hand, as we said before, Reuven was Chovel in the Eved of Shimon, then in that case, Reuven will pay Chavola, as far as Sheves is concerned, to Shimon, the owner of the Eved, because he caused him a hefsed of Malacha. Now this is the case of Eved Ivri. HaChovel, says the Mishnah, be'Eved Knani shel achirim chayv b'kulon. If the Eved was an Eved Knani, owned by so-and-so, let's call him Shimon, and now Reuven was Chovel in the Eved Knani of Shimon, he has to pay all five categories of damages. It means that even though in the parasha of Chavola we talk about Yisrael, nevertheless the Eved Knani, insofar as he had a Gerus, again I wouldn't call it a complete Gerus, but he certainly had Mila and Tefillah Lashem Gerus, he therefore has the status of Yisrael as far as the Chiyuv Chavola is concerned. But the payment on it, which is imposed upon the Chovel, is going to be delivered. The reason why the Adon of the Eved Knani collects the Tashlume Chavola, all five categories, is because he's the one who suffers the loss. He owns the Eved. And the Gemara Gittin explains that this applies to Tashlume Ripui and Sheves, even though Lechora you might say that in the case of Ripui, why is the Adon collecting Ripui? And the answer is because the Adon, insofar as he needs the Malacha of the Eved, is going to send the Eved to the hospital and he's going to expend money on medical bills. Now, those medical bills are estimated through a Shuma as the standard medical expenses. If, let's say, the Adon, the owner of the Eved, the Eved Kanani would spend extra money, and the original umdana was that the Eved would have to take off a week or be hospitalized for a week. Now, as a result of some very, very expensive kind of treatment, the Adon was able to use applied medical super drugs, and instead of a week, his Eved went out of the hospital in 3 days, then nevertheless the Adon could pocket the money. He doesn't have to give back the difference. Whatever he does to speed up what would be the classical normal process of and what in medical expense would have entailed, that's his profit. He should be motivated to do so. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda adds something here to our Mishnah, and he says, Ein la'avodim boshes. You, the Tanakhama, are implying that the Eved Kanani can collect all five categories, including boshes. No, says Rabbi Yehuda, there is one category that has to be excluded, and that means that the Eved Kanani is only chayv four. In the case of the Eved Kanani who was victimized, there's only a chiyuv for four categories, but not boshes. Ein la'avodim boshes. And the Gemara is going to explain in one blot's time that Rabbi Yehuda is going to derive this from a pasuk that in the chiyuv of boshes, the Torah says, ki yinotzo anoshim yatov ish v'echov, and the lashon of ach here in the pasuk is coming to exclude anyone who cannot marry into the fold. And although an Eved does have the status of a ger to some extent, but nevertheless, as far as Knisa Lakol, he's excluded, he's not Echov, and therefore there's no Chiv Boshes. That's a din misuyam with regard to Boshes. The Mishnah goes on to other unique kinds of exceptional cases of Chiv Chavola, and that is Cheresh Shota V'Katon. Cheresh, again, is a deaf mute. And in these three categories, pigiyason ra'a, which means that, stay away, this is really dangerous. Why? Because hachovel b'hen chayav, even though they're not what we call bardas, nevertheless, they're included under the chiyuvei chavol. If somebody was chovel, he assaults a cheresh, a shotev, a katon, then he has to pay damages. And we'll see exactly which damages in just a moment. But, and here's the catch 22, but if they did damage to others as a mazik, they don't pay damages. And that's because a cheresh shel tevekadon is a lav bar onshim, as the Gemara says at the beginning of Temura. In any event, I asked you the question about the cheresh shel tevekadon victimized as the nechbal. What monies can they collect? Now, we know that they collect nezek, and sar makes sense also. I mean, the fact that he's an eved doesn't in any way reduce the tsar element, and ripui, again, the medical expenses to bring him back to health. What about boshes? We had a sugya back on Daf Pei Vav that a shota ain lo boshes. In the case of a katon, it depends on what age he and maturity level he reached. If he's a little bit older, then there is boshes. If not, there's no boshes. As far as sheves is concerned, it doesn't matter whether he's a shote or a katon, there's no sheves. A shote is not capable of work. A katon is somach al shulchan aviv. He's being supported by his parents. In essence, what we're saying here is that the chiyuv chavola for someone who is chovel and is cheresh shel tevekadon is limited to nezek, tsar, and ripui, but it doesn't apply neither to sheves nor to boshes. Now, as far as heim shechovlu b'cherim pturim, there's a very famous hagos ashri. Rav Soloveitchik Zichron Levoche used to talk about this hagos ashri in his introduction to Masechta Bava Kamma. And the Hagos Ashri is of the opinion that a katan, if he was chovel, although you cannot force him to pay now, you can't even bring him into a bezdin and subpoena him as a defendant to show up in the court, but nevertheless, says the Hagos Ashri, when he becomes a gadol, you can sue him for the damages that he brought about when he was a katan. And the Rav Zichron Levracha used to always report to us that this was one of three rayos that Reb Chaim used to invoke against Rabbi Kiveger to establish that the katan is really chayov. In other words, we consider him a bar maisa; his maisa is halachically valid. Just that we are technically, he is technically protected, if you will, from onshin. But when he becomes a gadol, then in certain cases, again we have to see in which case, but certainly in the case of chavola, he will be liable for that which he perpetrated as a katan. Obviously the maisa katan is a maisa aver, it's a maisa chavola, it engenders a chiv, we can't force him to pay, but when he gets older, he will pay. The Meiri has a discussion about the cases of cheresh v'shote. And if at the time of the Nezek, the Cheresh and Shota perpetuated the Hezek, and now they became healthy again, the Meiri goes on record as saying that in such a case, they're Pturim, because then the Mice is considered a Mice Onus. In the case of Katan, based on the Agos HaShri, we might be tempted to maintain that that's not an Onus. You know, the katan is, if he's mature and he's old enough to be a mavuyash, he's also old enough to be responsible as a mavayish. Just that we cannot compel him to pay damages in a bezdin, but that we can do later, says Agostri, when he becomes a gadol. Now, in the case of Tashlume Eved, because again, the next part of the Mishnah starts with the word ha'eved, and was specifically referring to an eved knani, and there we're going to say achovel bahen chayev. If someone was chovel in eved knani that belongs to someone else, he's chayev, and the monies that he pays accrue to the rav, to the owner of the eved knani, as we said before, and certainly in the case of sheves, that's crystal clear. Now, what about the second category here, ha'isha? The Mishnah is going to establish that if someone is chovel in an isha, then he has to pay damages for that. And the question is, who collects those damages? With regard to sheves, clearly the chovel has to pay the baal, because of the principle established in the Gemara Ksubis, that ma'isa de isha labayla. And that work which she was not able to do as a result of this chavola is work that's lost to the adon, to the baal, insofar as maisia del baal. That's going to be pretty clear. Now, the Mishnah says pgiyason ra, not only regard to the cases of cheresholt v'katan, but even the cases of an eved and an isha. And why is that? Because heim shechovel b'cherem p'turim. Let's take the case of an eved. If the eved was victimized, he was assaulted, then surely the chovel has to pay dmei chavola, the five categories, to the adon. What if the eved was on the aggressive end, the attacking end, he was the assailant, he attacked someone else, then there's no chiyuv. And the reason for that is because we are applying the principle established by the Sugi and Kiddushin of Mashakona Eved Kona Rabo, which means that the Eved himself has no financial assets, he has no possession and ownership in and of himself, and therefore you cannot sue him to pay damages. Again, what would be in the case of an Eved that stole something? Obviously, we can force the Eved to fork up the object, the stolen object, return it to its adon. But here we're talking about paying chiyuvei, tashlumei, chavola. The nechbal has no recourse to sue the Eved because the Eved has no financial base and money of his own. He doesn't have a bank account. But what about the case of Isha? If she goes ahead and damages someone else, why is that pgiyos and ra? Why is heim shechov lebacherim p'turim in the case of an isha? And lechora, we're going to have to go back to a principle in Masechet Kiddushin of mashakonsa isha kana baila. But wait a second. the Mishnah in Ksuvas establishes something called Nichsei Maluk. In other words, possessions that she brings into the marriage, unless they're written down explicitly in the Ksuba as Nichsei Tzombarza, that's the exception, but the classical case is Nichsei Maluk. And basically, she owns the Nichsei Maluk. She owns the Keren. The Baal only has rights to eat Peros. In terms of Nichsei Maluk, we would have intuitively assumed that she has ownership over Nichsei Maluk. But Rashi explains here, Diva Rasa Chayovin, that she doesn't really have full-fledged ownership over Nichsei Maluk, because there's a Shiva to the Baal, he eats the Peros, and in addition he has Chus Yerusha, that if she dies, he inherits her. The Rosh, on the other hand, takes the opposite view of Rashi. He says that if she has Nichsei Maluk, then Enochinami, she would pay damages. The problem is, we're talking about a case of a woman who actually doesn't possess any Nichsei Maluk. She didn't bring Nichsei Maluk into the marriage, and therefore she has no financial base. If she had Nichsei Maluk, then she would certainly be Chayeves. She would have to pay for Chavol like any other person has to pay for Chavol. Avol, however, Mishalmim li Achar Zman. Herein lies the difference between the cases of Cheresh Veshota that we discussed earlier and the cases of Eved and Isha that we're discussing now. In the case of a Shota or a Cheresh who's an Eno, Shomei Aveinu Medaber, there we said he's like an Onus. And even if he becomes healthy, miraculously, he doesn't pay for what the damages that he inflicted on someone when he was a cheresh or a shota, but not so in the case of Eved v'Isha. There's no afkas hagavra, there's no tour of onus. The maisa hezek is really a maisa hezek that engenders a chiv. There's just no one to collect from. However, once the isha has her own financial base, for example, nisgarsha isha, now she's on her own independently. Nishtachrer ha'eved, the eved received a shtar shichrur. In these cases, chayovim l'shalem, they have to pay for the damages that they performed when they were still in the reshus, she in the reshus of her husband on a financial basis, and he, the eved, in the reshus of his adon. And the Chassam Sofer has a very interesting point over here. He says it's very possible that an Isha would pay later on down the line, even if she doesn't receive a get. For example, let's say someone gives a gift to a woman and he says, I'm giving this to you to the exclusion of your husband. Or, for example, a woman owns her ksuba and she decides to sell her ksuba b'tovas hanoa, which means that the buyer will pay for the iffy ksuba, hoping that either she will get a divorce or that her husband will die before her. He will pre-die her, because in such cases the buyer has the rights to collect the ksuba from the Yerusha, from the estate of the Baal. And those monies which she gains by selling the ksuba are her own monies. And not only that, the Baal has no shibudim, he has no rights to eat peros from monies that she received, or monies that were paid to her in lieu of haksuba. And therefore, we could force her to pay dmei chavola. Now again, let's just reiterate that the reason why, as far as Eved is concerned, the Mishnah lists Eved as first and Isha as second. Again, let's go through the lashon of the Mishnah. Eved v'Isha pegiyos and ra. And then at the end of the Mishnah, this section of the Mishnah, it says Avol nisgarsha Isha nishtachar Eved. And all of a sudden, the Mishnah in the same paragraph changes its sequence. And the answer to that might be that as far as the chiyuv liachar zman is concerned, a woman is mentioned first, because it's much simpler to assume that she will have the wherewithal to pay. And according to some sofer, that's true even though her husband's still alive. In the case of an Eved, well, you know, the possibility that the Eved will become financially independent and cut the apron strings that connect him to the Adon are very slim. You're going to have to wait for the Adon to die to decide to give the Eved a shtar shichur. Those are sort of rare, fluky occasions. However, the first part of this section of the Mishnah opens up with the word Eved, and the reason for that is that as far as the Ptur is concerned, it's a little bit simpler to write Eved first, because he doesn't have anything to pay with. A woman does have, or may have, some money to pay with. Be that as it may, the Mishnah goes on to say, Hamakeh Aviv ve'imo ve'asa ben chabura. Until now we've been discussing a case where a son was chovel without a chabura, chovel be'aviv without a chabura. Now we're talking about he was chovel with a chabura, and now the Mishnah is going to introduce the principle of kim lev d'rab minei ve'hachovel b'chaveru b'shabbos. So if a person violates a melecha Shabbos through this chabura, and therefore he's chayev misa, is potami kula mitnei shu nidon benafsho. Because of the chiyuv misa, therefore there's no chiyuv mamon. And why is this chabura on Shabbos considered a tikkun and not a meleches kilkul? Why would there be a chiyuv misa? He's not going to use the dam for anything. He's not feeding his animal blood. His kavada was to cause pain and to do damage. But the answer is, as the Rambam says in Pirush HaMishnayis here in our perek, that in the case of a chovel bebehem of a chaya, okay, that's makalkel if he's not using the dam. But in the case of chovel be'adam, he expresses or he takes out his anger, and that itself is constructive. Like the Gemara says that yechay for kriya with an ayin, if kara mechamoso. Here too, if he's angry at someone, he wants to let out his anger by smacking him and by wounding him, that act of wounding him is itself a tikkun. Again, it's not an objective tikkun, but it's a subjective tikkun. Now, how do we know that if you're chayv misa, you don't pay compensation, you don't pay damim? That's derived from, in the Gemara Ksubis, in Perek Elunaris, from the Pasuk, in the parsha of two men that are fighting, v'lo yeh oson onosh yeh onesh. What happened is, inadvertently, he hit the woman. And the question is whether she's going to die or not. And the implication is that if she indeed dies, he becomes chayev misa for hitting the woman, and therefore he's parted from tashlum. Achovel be Eved Knani Shalom, if a person attacks his own Eved Knani. And if you recall earlier in this Mishnah, we spoke about Hachovil be Eved Knani Shalachirim, or we spoke about Hachovil be Eved Knani Bizman Shu Shalom. Now we finally get to the last case, the scenario of a person who is Chovil in his own Eved Knani, Potem Mikulam, he doesn't pay any damages whatsoever. Because as far as the Eved, he's a Chefta Shal Mamon, and the Adon has complete total bialus over the Eved. So that even though others who attack the Eved, the Adon, the others, the Chovel will pay for that, but it's the Adon who collects those damages because he owns the Eved. And therefore, if he inflicts a Chavola onto the Eved, then he doesn't pay damages. We had a whole sugya earlier, if you recall. Let's say a man was motzi Rosh Evarim. In this chabura, he knocked out the eye of the Eved or the tooth of the Eved. In such a case, if he additionally wounds him, bazech or zeh, in that sequence, the Eved is kones cherus with the Rosh Evarim, the hapolas hashen, hapolas ayin, and now, as a ben chorin, he can sue his former Adon, his former owner, his former master for damages. The Gemara says, "Boy minei Rabbi Elazar mirav, hachovel bebas ktano shel acherim chavol lemi." If a person assaults a young girl, the daughter of so and so, notice she's less than 12 years and a day. If she was older than 12 years in a day, then certainly he pays her. She's the nechbal or the nechbelis, and that's who he has to pay. But in the case of a ktana, we have a suffik, and the Gemara now is going to present the study of suffik. Me, I'm reading, should we say, kevan di akne le rachmana, since the monetary benefits or assets of a ketana accrue to the father. That's called atni le'rachmana. And the pasuk in Parshas Matos says, "Binureha beis avia shvach, nureha liavia." And therefore, for example, the father could marry her off as a ketana, and he collects the money kedushin and pockets it for his own. Is chavola nami davua havi? The dmei chavola accrue to him as well. And the reason for that is because shvach nureha liavia. Although, again, the question is whether talking about a ketana or a nara. A nara is the 12-month period between 12 years and a day and 12 and a half. And on this discussion, we have a long Pnei Yoshua. Does a nara fit into the same category of Rabbi Lazar's suffix over here? In which case, the chovel would pay the father according to one side because he can marry her off. That's a little bit complicated because although the father has total exclusive control as far as marrying off his ketana is concerned, but when it comes to a nara, that's o avia o he, she also plays a role in marrying herself off. So we're not exactly sure whether or not the case of Rabbi Elazar Safek is only a ketana or it includes a nara as well. But be that as it may, the second side, wait, before we get to the second side, my timer, why should we assume that chavola belongs to the father? Da afchisa mikaspa. As a result of this chavola, her value has depreciated, and that caused the hefsid to his father. When he marries her off, he's going to get less of a price for kesef, tashlumin. By the way, the Gemara later on, when it gets to the sugya of Sheves, it would seem over there that Rabbi Elazar's Safek refers, about a ketana, refers to all tashlumin with the exception of Sheves. That's the impression you get, but the Muki Yosef is of the opinion that the entire Safek of Rabbi Elazar revolves exclusively around Nezek. As far as Tsar is concerned, it was Poshut that she collects the Tsar because she suffered the physical anguish and the pain, not her father. As far as Boshes, the same. She was Nisbaisha. As far as Ripui, well, Ripui ain't no shalom. It doesn't belong to the father. There's no reason why he owns the money of medical expenses because it's all monies that are paid out. That's not our discussion of Elazar's Safek. The father has rights to collect money insofar as she is devaluated, says the Muki Yosef, and that's called Nezek. And Rabbi Elazar is vacillating about the Chiv Nezek, whether that payment should accrue to the father. O Dilma, now we go back to the Gemara, what's the second side in Rabbi Elazar? Why does he think, no, she collects the Nezek, and perhaps all the Tashlumi, if the other Tashlumi are included in the Safe? O Dilma, Shevach Neurim Hudiakni Le Rachmana. The Torah gave the father rights to marry off his daughter and to collect the monies of the Kesef Kiddushin. The boy Lemimsarala Lemukashrin, since he has control over who would be her marriage partner, he can marry her off to a lowlife, someone who's really, really ill, is therefore Matzi Masar, since he could do that, to marry her off to Mukashrin, he's within his halachic rights to do so. And that we derive from the parasha Motzi Shemer and Dvarim Chav Beis, that if a man says Esbiti Nasati Lish Hazen, the Gemara says, meaning he had the ability and the rights, control rights over a marriage to marry off to whoever he so chooses, and we derive from that that the Torah gives him the Kesef Kiddushin as well. But Aval Chabolah, the Torah never gave rights to the father, in the case of a ketana, to collect the Dmei Chabolah. Kevin Diboy Mischabol Ba Lo Matzi Chavil. The father has rights vis-a-vis Kesef Kiddushin in a unique way, but not vis-a-vis Chabolah and collecting Dmei Chabolah because he can't be Chovel Ha. He doesn't have dominion over his daughter to inflict any sort of assault in her body. And a chovel biyodim Yisrael violates a lav doraisa lo Yosef, pen Yosef lakoso, as the Gemara establishes in Ksubis, is lo kanyele rechmona. We don't find any source, any basis to assume that the Torah was makne to the father, tashlumei chavola. And here I'd like to make a very important point that really comes up in a discussion here in Rashi, Dibra Maskel De'i, Rashi says the chsiv as piti nosati shazeh alma biyado la sesel mishayirtzel kesef kedusha nami la viha, and here the Rishonim pounce on Rashi. The Gemara should have said that if he wanted to be makadish to mukashchin, he could have done so. What does it mean mosar la? The language of the Gemara of motzi mosar is a very strange language, and not only that. What does Tashlumi Chabolah have to do in the first tzad in Rav Loza's Sofek with Kesef Kiddushel? Why did Rav Loza think that we can have an analogy between Kesef Kiddushin and Tashlumi Chabolah? And the answer perhaps is that Shvach Ne'ureha is a reference not to Kiddushin, Kesef Kiddushin, but rather to Boshes Upagam. Because in the parasha of Ones U'Mefata, the Boshes U'Pagam is paid to the father. The Torah says that the father of the Ketana receives and pockets the Boshes U'Pagam. And the reason for that is because the father could be pogame her by marrying her off through Kedushin to a Mukashchin. That's where the Sofik Rebbe Loza lies. Shall we derive Tashlumei Chavola from Tashlumei Boshes U'Pagam? Tashlumei Boshes U'Pagam is very similar to Tashlumei Chavola. And the other side in Rebbe Loza was, no, with regard to Pagam, since it's Biyodol Pogma, he can marry her off to a Mukashchin, then the father gets the monies of Pagam. But Chavola, since it's Ein Biyodol Lachbolba, therefore he, the father, does not receive those monies of Dmei Chavola. And here we turn to Daf Pei Zayin Amid Beis. Omar Le, Rav responds in this question, Lo Zichsa Atoraliav Ela Shevach Ni'urim Bilvat. The only thing that the Torah gave to the father is Kesef Kiddushel. The Torah never gave rights and ownership of to the father as far as the Dmei Chavola is concerned. The Gemara right now assumes that would include Sheves as well. Shia self collects Sheves. Esve, the Gemara doesn't understand Rav. How could Rav go as far as to say that even Sheves accrues to the Ketana? After all, the Mishnah says Achol v'Beved Ivri Chayv v'Kulam Chutz Min HaSheves. In other words, if a person damages an Eved Ivri, he has to pay Nezek Tzar, Ripui, and Boshes, but he doesn't pay Sheves, and that's only Bizman Shehu Shalo, because since it's his own Eved that he attacked, therefore he doesn't have to pay himself Sheves. The one who took the Hefsid of Sheves, of the loss of Malach, is himself. And therefore, the Maisa Yedeya Eved, all the Malachas belong to the Rav, and therefore there's no Nezek to the Eved as far as his loss of Malacha, of his Maisa Yedayim, his ability to pay and earn wages. And therefore, in the case of Bito Aktana, if somebody damages them, he's Chovel them. The din should be that the tashlum, the payment of Sheves, should go to the father, because after all, Maisa Yodea belong, in the case of Ketana, to her father. The father claims all of her income, all of her assets. And therefore, as a result of the fact that now, through this Chavol, she can no longer work, Sheves, the unemployment, the loss of those wages, should be paid to the father as a hefsi to the father. So it's true, Rav. I can agree with you in fundamental principle that as far as Nezek and Sar and Ripui and Boshes are concerned, those payments should accrue to the Ketana. But as far as Sheves is concerned, you have to admit to me that Sheves should be paid, all the other payments, Nezek, Tsar, Ripui, and Boshes should be accrued to her, because the Torah was only Mizaka the father in Kesef Kedusha. But you have to admit to me, Rav, that at least one of the five, namely Sheves, that should be paid to the father. He's the one who loses, because Maisi Adesh Allah, Omar Abaye, Moda Rav B'Sheves. Why? The Maisi Odea belong to the father Achas Bagrus as long as she's a Ketana Diavua Havi, and therefore the Sheves should certainly accrue to the father insofar as he could have collected all her wages. Now he took a loss through the Schavola of collecting her wages. He has to be reimbursed for that.
Eisfei, the Gemara says, but wait a minute, I have a brisa. The brisa says, Hachovel bibno gadol. If a person assaults his son who is a gadol, yiten lo miyad, he pays all tashlumi chavol immediately. We'll see exactly what immediately means here. But if he was chovel, says the brisa, bibno katan, then even though he has to pay his ben, even in the case of a katan, tashlumi chavola, because he has no zchus in his ben, though the monies have to be paid to the child, insofar as he was assaulted, but nevertheless the child doesn't have the ability to put the money in the bank, is yasalo skula, the father in this case would have to set up a bank account, which is called a skula. The word skula means an otsar, some sort of treasury, in order to maintain this money so it shouldn't get lost, and the katan will receive any interest from that money, or if the money is invested, he will get any benefits from that investment. When he becomes mature enough, he's a gadol, then he can collect the money from the bank account. Hachovel bebita ktana, if a person assaults a young girl, potur, he doesn't have to pay the dmei chavolasa. And it seems like he's potur completely. Now, he should at least be paying her for nezek, tsar, ripui, and boshes. All of those four payments, according to Rav, belong to her, not to the father. Why doesn't the father have to pay that money and put it into escrow? V'lo od, and furthermore, Ela achirim shecholvu ba chayovim liten lavia. The brisa goes further and says explicitly that others who assault this young girl have to pay the father. And the Gemara understands now at this point that the brisa means all five tashlumin are accrued to the father, and that's against Rav. Rav says at least in 4 out of 5, she herself collects those tashlumi chavola. She was the victim of this assault. The Gemara answers, Hachinami b'sheves. When the brisa says that a chovel bebito aktano is potter, it means, excuse me, when the brisa says that acherim shecholvu ba chayovim liten lavia, that's a reference to Sheves, only to the unemployment loss, because the father has Maisi Odel. But as far as the balance, the other four categories of payment, the Chovel would certainly have to pay her, and once again, as long as she's a Katana, will put the money into an Otsar, and she'll collect and have access to the money when she becomes a Gdola. We'll stop here.